Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Next, Senators, we're going to move to tab 7, and we have the reappointment of Ms. Tina Vidal-Duarte. Make sure I pronounce that correctly. Who is a reappointment to the Board of Trustees for Florida Atlantic University. Are you there?
Yes, Chairman.
Now, why on earth in Pensacola, Florida, would I be playing you audio from the Senate Higher Education Appropriations Committee interviewing a reappointment for Tina Duarte to the Board of Trustees for Florida Atlantic University? Why on earth, indeed, at this point in our relationship? What have you learned, John?
There's a reason for everything.
Trust him.
Yeah.
Trust him.
For the most part. I mean,
usually, yeah. I mean, that could be a misfire here and there, but generally speaking, trust him. Okay, so Tina Duarte explains her background, which is how these things go. They give a little, you know, I'm so cool bio.
I was born and raised in the great state of Florida. My family, including myself, are proud products of the Florida State University system. Both my husband, Carlos, and I are second-generation SUS graduates from Florida International University, where I'm a two-time graduate earning a master's degree in international business.
Yes, everything sounds very normal. Everything sounds very fine. She's, you know, on these different boards, and she's got this interesting experience, and everything sounds just very normal until LeVon Bracey Davis, Senator. There's only five senators on this committee. The Senate's smaller to begin with. Like, there's only 40 of them instead of 120. And so, you know, these are the people that handle the appointments to the Board of Trustees. They had already, but they're going to say yes to Ed Fleming, of course. And then, you know, Zach Smith got delayed. But she chimes in and says, I have a question.
Any questions? Oh, you're recognized. Senator Bracey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. While I don't think you mentioned it in your introduction, looking at your bio, I see that you have relevant board experience, having served on the Board of Directors for Hope Florida Foundation.
So, you have somebody who was on the Board of Directors for the Hope Florida Foundation looking to get reappointed to the Florida Atlantic University Board of Trustees. And LeVon Bracey Davis says, I noticed you didn't mention that in your bio. Because the Hope Florida Foundation has had this massive scandal where the $10 million that came back from Centene was supposed to be a Medicaid payment and did not go to ACA, but instead went to the Hope Florida Foundation in this super shady, probably illegal deal that winds up in $10 million under James Uthmeyer's care for these two political action committees that Alex Andrade has been overseeing, that there's a grand jury investigating, that now we learn cost us an additional $6 million because of the 57% payback obligation. So it's not just 10, it's actually 16. Plus the admission that makes it Medicaid money, which the governor and James Uthmeyer had denied. So it's a thing, okay? It's a thing that's not getting smaller by the day. So LeVon Bracey Davis says, tell me about this experience you got on the Hope Florida Foundation board.
How long did you serve on this board for Hope Florida Foundation, and what was your understanding of the foundation's purpose and your role as a board member?
Thank you for the question, Senator Bracey Davis. I was appointed for a two-year term, and Hope Florida is an incredible organization that provides a network of services to individuals in need throughout the state of Florida, making sure that they're connected with all the different resources that are available throughout the state, and providing individuals that can help them navigate what can be sometimes a cumbersome process of accessing those services.
You know, at the Hope Florida Foundation, we've got brown doors. We have semi-shag carpeting. We've got very nice painted white lines on the parking lot to tell us where the cars are supposed to go. There's some landscaping out front. You know, we all speak English. It's fantastic. The stuff that I was doing is very important work. You know, when you don't know what to say.
We speak English.
Like, we all wear clothes to our meetings and generally enjoy coffee and
occasional
donut. What else? What else do you want to know? We do stuff, right? So,
a follow up. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could I have a series of follow up?
Let's do one at a time.
Sure thing. During your time serving as a board member, were you aware of the fact that Hope Florida Foundation had failed to submit federal tax filings required to maintain its status as a tax-exempt charitable organization, was operating without any bylaws and without any conflict of interest policies and without any written contract with DCF as required by state law?
I was not aware at the time until that came to light rather recently.
Rather not keep having this conversation. We'll come back to it in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
I have no recollection of the event in question. There we go.
I would like to consult with my counsel, please. I'm worried that the words I may say may serve to incriminate me. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, so we're dealing with one accident on Wild Lake Boulevard and Pine Forest Road. That's causing some delays, congestion around Five Flags Speedway. It's backed up both ways, so just be aware of that. I-10 and I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm not seeing any other delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
By the way, I don't know which is a worse answer. When somebody asks you why the organization that you were overseeing as a member of the board was completely screwed up, I don't know which is a better answer. Oh, yeah, we know all about that. And failed to fix it, or no, I had no idea that that was happening. I mean, which one's worse?
Right.
Like, they're both bad. So, again, Senator LaVon Bracey Davis, black lady, Democrat, okay? Not typically the person whose perspective I would champion, but in this case, the only one on the committee that is willing to lean into some of this with this particular person.
In April.
Again, Tina Duarte, who is trying to be, I think, reappointed. I'm not sure if she's appointed or reappointed to the FAU Board of Trustees, but, you know, another one of the governor's stellar picks. We've had some of those here.
In April of this year, the chairman of Hope Florida Foundation testified to the House Healthcare Committee that the foundation had failed to establish criteria for review and approval of grant proposals, lacked standard procedures for disbursing foundation funds to grant awardees, and had no monitoring process in place to oversee grant recipients' actual use of Florida Foundation funds or performance. Did any of these facts seem unusual or concerning to you at the time? And if not, do they concern you in retrospect?
It's my understanding that there continues to be an ongoing investigation into Hope Florida's activities, and I've been advised by counsel not to comment on the ongoing matter without counsel present as long as an active investigation is pending.
I'm not supposed to talk about any of that because there's an ongoing investigation that may include me.
Do we have to keep having this conversation? Did I tell you about the brown doors and the white lines?
And we speak English?
And we all were closed to the meetings.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Is this germane to her appointment?
If I may?
If you would give us some background as to why you feel this might be germane to the appointment.
Well, in terms of its relevant board experience, it's in her bio that she served on another board, so would love to hear about that board service.
And we are on a time frame, so we could limit this to maybe one more question.
Certainly. Thank you.
Yeah, and the next question was really boring, so I'm not going to play it for you. But what I think the LaVon Bracey Davis is showing is that the legislature has not forgotten. They're not done. They're not just, well, I mean, she's only the one on the board that's going to care about this, but at least one senator is saying, what in the actual are you doing? Or as my dear friend Michelle Salzman would say,
what the Florida?
So then they get down to voting, and she asks for a separate vote for Tina Duarte, and then...
I know time was well spent, and we didn't have enough time to dig really deep. I think based on her previous board participation, it was very relevant to this current board nomination. And I am just not comfortable based on... all that happened with Hope Florida, I am not comfortable moving forward with an affirmative recommendation at this time.
Any further comments?
Yeah, I mean, would you want the same person that was in charge of the Hope Florida Foundation being in charge of the Florida Atlantic University? No, is the answer you're looking for. They still confirmed her 4-1, or pushed her along in the process 4-1. I can't explain why the other senators voted for her. Good job, Senator Bracey Davis. I wish there were a little bit more courage amongst the rest of them. 8:20 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you need work done on air conditioning, heating, electrical, plumbing, you know, any of the work inside your home like that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, obviously the air conditioner can be outside. You know, plumbing can be in and out. You have generators. They're usually outside, right? That can be a thing that Peden works on. But Peden will take care of all that stuff. Good quality installation, good parts, trained people, professionals. They stand by their work with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You know, it started in Panama City in like 60 years ago. It's 56, I think, technically. But, you know, it's expanded ever since then, all the way from Tallahassee to Mobile and everywhere in between. And right now, one of the things they're working on is if you want a smarter, safer home, with Peden's $89 smart home consultation, their licensed professionals will come look at your home and all the things that you're using and design a custom plan that connects your comfort, your security, your energy savings into a single, simple system. Start living smarter with Peden. Find out more at Peden, PEDEN.com.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
WEAR-TV's Communities Caring at Christmas has brought hope to thousands of children in Northwest Florida. Drop off a new unwrapped toy at WEAR-TV, Sandy Sansing Dealerships, or News Radio 92.3, or mail your tax-deductible check to WEAR-TV Studios. Every donation helps children in foster care, children in poverty, and adults with developmental disabilities. Neighbors helping neighbors since 1979. Communities Caring at Christmas.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Naughty, 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 you filthy old sunker.
So the Trump administration has also been doing things. I try to cover so much local that if we have time for Trump, we'll take it. But here's a couple of things. Trump has announced a $12 billion aid package for farmers. $11 billion of it goes to specified products that include things like Ryan Jenkins would farm, soybeans, cotton, peanuts are listed in that. This is to help with all of the instability created by the administration through its tariffs and other matters. And then $1 billion of that is going to be for other non-specified crops. So, you know, presumably this is a roughly good thing. We're spending an aircraft carrier to help out the farmers. That's I think of federal money in terms of aircraft carriers. You know, $12 billion is about an aircraft, maybe not quite an aircraft carrier, but it's in the vicinity. They're going to start charging people they apprehend for being here illegally $5,000 for having to arrest them. I mean, pay for the cost of arresting you. You know, it's interesting that we don't do that more frequently across the board. You know, like, you know, how much does it cost to have the police show up at your house to talk you out and to arrest you for the crime that you perpetrated? I mean, you know, five officers, let's charge them 10 grand. I don't know. Why shouldn't the criminals pay for the service they're using? I mean, it's not generally the way we do things, but, you know, if convicted, ultimately, I mean, maybe you should have to pay for it. 437-1620. The National Defense Authorization Act is here, or the proposed, the 2026 NDAA. And it's got a lot of stuff in there, including one thing is to, you know, get rid of woke ideology, snooze, of course. I mean, duh. Also to propose eliminating funding for IVF treatments for the members of the military. The what now? So if you're having, you know, issues getting pregnant, IVF, of course, is the very expensive and some would say morally objectionable. You know, the typical Catholic view of IVF is that because you wind up destroying embryos that you make, you're destroying humans. And so therefore, IVF is problematic. It's not the ones that you implant. That's not an issue. It's the ones that you don't implant. That's the issue. Service member raise of 4%. Expanding counter-drone defenses. Remember I told you that the Army is looking to buy 1 million drones over the next couple of years. Golden Dome, I still don't think it'll ever happen. Enhancing Indo-Pacific theater to bolster Taiwan's defense. That's the real deal. Revitalizing and improving American shipbuilding and expanding the maritime industrial base. That's pre-war activity. That's, you know, I mean, we need to do that for sure. So anyway, you know, just some things in the NDA. I'm sure there'll be more conversation about this going forward. We'll probably talk about it with Jimmy Petronas on Monday. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still dealing with that one accident on Wild Lake Boulevard and Pine Forest Road, which is causing delays around Five Flags Speedway, both directions associated with that. But 98 westbound as you approach Gulf Breeze through that construction zone, seeing some delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A judge is ordering the mother of White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt's nephew to be released from ICE custody on bond. Bruno Ferreira was arrested near Boston last month and transferred to an ICE facility in Louisiana. She shares custody of her 11-year-old with Michael Leavitt, the press secretary's brother. The wife of former New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez is trying to get her jewelry back after both were convicted on bribery charges.
Nadine Menendez's lawyers filed paperwork arguing that jewelry was not part of the case and not paid for with bribery money. Therefore, she should get it back. Prosecutors have previously said the jewelry can be held if Nadine does not pay the court judgment. The jewelry includes pearl necklaces, a ring, and watches. Nadine Menendez heads to prison next year. Bob Menendez already started his 11-year prison sentence. Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New Jersey.
And Andrew, a raccoon that went viral for getting drunk inside of a Virginia liquor store is now helping to raise money for an animal shelter. The Hanover County Animal Protection and Shelter is selling trashed panda shirts, hoodies, stickers, and tumblers featuring the drunken raccoon. So far, the merchandise has brought in over $150,000, and the raccoon has also been safely released back into the wild.
Trashed panda is pretty clever.
It really is.
You know, I mentioned this to somebody the other day, just called it a trash panda, and they're like, what? There are people who don't know that expression for raccoons. They've never heard trash panda as the...
It's even a minor league baseball
I know,
team
right?
name.
And,
yeah.
And trashed panda is kind of funny because that raccoon, you know, broke the bottles, got drunk. Passed out.
Trash, yeah.
You know, whatever. So, okay. All right. Raising money. Hey, you know, strike while the iron's hot. You know, raise your money while you can. 828 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have? Oh, you know what? This is kind of a bad story for Santa Rosa County Commission. Not all of them. But you remember we talked about this with Brad Baker earlier this morning, that a couple of months ago they had the vote in October where they were going to align the county ordinance with the state ordinance when it came to septic to sewer. And it's really a formality because the law is already in place, but this would make them eligible for what Brad Baker told us is a $6 million grant that now they're not eligible for because the public showed up and they wrung their hands and they lit their torches and they raised their pitchforks and they got all upset over, I thought, a very misunderstood notion of what was happening. And you basically had Kerry Smith and Colton Wright took it on the chin because they had, well, Colton had brought this forward. He said, blame me. And then Rhett Rowell had said, I want more information. I don't want to make a quick decision. And Bobby Burkett and Ray Eddington kind of said the same thing. Well, Tom McLaughlin writes a really good article in the PNJ about how, well, where are we now? This is supposed to come back for a vote. And the where are we now is, God, I mean, I hate to say this, but it's just kind of seems like cowardice to me. He basically said in, you know, talking to Bobby Burkett that, you know, Bobby says that he would, you know, he would be willing to vote for it if somebody else brings it up. But I'm not going to be the one to bring it up. I'm quoting from the article. Not with the misinformation network, because I call it out there, I'm done. But you're going to cater to the dummies? I mean, do what's right and explain it to them. You know, he thinks it ought to be on Rhett Rowell to bring it up. And I mean, I think Rhett should bring it up too. But same thing for District 4. Ray Eddington basically said the same thing. If they want to bring it back, I'll be fine with it. I doubt I would introduce it, but the people don't want it, and all it's going to do is trying to help people, but the people don't see it that way. If it comes back, I'll listen to the people. What? Which side? So you'd vote for it, and Bobby would vote for it, and we know Carrie and Colton would vote for it, and Rhett, said that he didn't respond to the PNJ article, but he wants more information. Well, what? Do it. I mean, what's the problem? This is a really embarrassing article for the three county commissioners. Because it's basically saying you're afraid of the people's misunderstanding and you're not willing to educate them and do what's right for the county so that we can help protect the environment by getting people off of septic tanks and onto sewer with the $6 million grant that this would make us eligible for. Dude, good reporting by Tom McLaughlin. Great follow-up, so...
News. I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump goes to the Poconos, Pennsylvania's Mount Airy Casino Resort. An early day off for local kids with an expected crush of traffic. As the president explains why his economic plan is the best bet to make America affordable again. Farmers thanking the president for a bridge payment to the spring crop season. $12 billion in farm aid to tide them through huge fertilizer hikes and a China trade freeze out. Farmer Court Hollow tells the president.
The other day I was reading my little boy a story at night, putting him to bed, and he said, Daddy, I don't want Santa Claus to come to our house for Christmas. I want President Trump.
And affordability and focus in Miami's close runoff election for mayor today, where voters haven't picked a Democrat for 30 years. Eileen Higgins versus Trump-backed Republican Emilio Gonzalez. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3, and we've got 38 degrees right now with sunshine this morning in Pensacola. Well, International Paper's Pensacola Mill is investing $65,000 into local nonprofits this year. The mill awarding grants to 9 organizations that are focused on education, health, hunger relief, and environmental projects. The largest of those grants, $15,000, is going to the Sacred Heart Foundation to create a sensory room at the Studer Family Children's Hospital. The space will help children with sensory processing challenges and anxiety. Another major grant supports Jim Allen Elementary School's Science and Social Studies program. Regional Communications Manager Whitney Fike says the grants are about creating meaningful, lasting change in the community. The funding covers everything from autism support programs to food banks to youth literacy initiatives. The Escambia County Commission is going to consider expanding a highway for a safety project this week. Back in August, County Commissioners approved a $1.8 million improvement project from Burnville to near Century. On Thursday, they'll vote on extending that project about a mile further to go to State Line Road. The expansion would cost an additional $554,000, bringing the total project cost up to around $2.4 million. The improvements include widening and overlaying the road, upgrading guardrails, and relocating mailboxes and traffic signs. A local law firm is serving up a dose of community spirit and holiday cheer. Gross and Schuster having their annual free cookout today from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. on the front steps of their office, which is located at Palafox and Cervantes. Managing partner Terrence Gross says their tradition started about a decade ago, and they just had one goal in mind.
We'll be open at the front steps of our office, serving hot food to the public, to our friends, and the less fortunate members of our community.
And they'll be serving burgers, chicken, and hot dogs to anybody who stops by. That cookout runs again until 2 p.m. today. Well, Stephen Nassy has won the 58th annual Snowball Derby race. The race was delayed due to weather, of course, from Sunday until Monday. Got underway yesterday afternoon. Nassy crossed the finish line first after another driver was disqualified during the event. Nassy started all the way back in position 32 of 36. The Snowball Derby at Five Flag Speedway is a huge racing tradition here across the area. Thousands of race fans attended the multi-day event. Well, an Okaloosa County deputy was arrested on battery charges recently. 35-year-old Colin Savoy was taken into custody last week after an incident involving a female victim. According to an arrest report, Savoy pushed the woman During an argument, the woman reported she fell against a door frame and some doors as a result. Savoy admitted to the argument but denied physical contact. He was released from jail last Thursday on bond. The sheriff's office there has not announced any decision about whether he is still employed. Gulf Shores is not having a hangout music festival next year. The city's skipping the 2026 event after Morgan Wallen's Sand in My Boots sold out 40,000 tickets this past year. The mayor said organizers wanted to book some different acts but weren't able to reach a deal. And rather than settle for previous performers, the city decided they would cancel and regroup. Mayor Robert Kraft says they have already approved a festival for 2027. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic.
That's right. Still dealing with that one accident that happened on Wild Lake Boulevard and Pine Forest Road. Is causing some delays in both directions around Five Flags Speedway. So just be aware of that. Also still dealing with 98 westbound as you approach Gulf Breeze. You can see about a 10-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the Fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at a very chilly start to your day with temperatures warming up into the 50s by the afternoon, mostly sunny skies. Tuesday night temperatures dropping near 42. Going into Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 66 degrees. Wednesday night temperatures dropping near 45. Going into Thursday, we will have temperatures around 62 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Stick and accurate Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 38 degrees right now with sunshine here this morning. Our next news in 30 minutes. Your money now. Markets are mixed this morning. The Dow's up about 0.3% at 47,894. S&P up just marginally at 68,48. The NASDAQ is down about 0.25% at 23.9. Looking at that 10-year bond rate this morning, it is down at 4.153%. Gold prices are up $1.40 at $42.19.10. Silver's up 82 cents at $59.23. I'm sorry. And crypto, right now, Bitcoin down $140 at $94.84. Taking a look at our financial headlines for today. President Trump is headed to Pennsylvania. He's kicking off a national tour to talk about his economic agenda.
As voters signaled they're not happy with the issues central to his election in a series of polls, most recently Gallup, showing just 36% of those surveyed satisfied with the president's handling of the economy. He argues he inherited a mess.
And that's NBC's Alice Barr. White House officials have championed the president's policies. Some Republicans, though, have fears of losing the House next year's midterm elections due to affordability across the nation. Well, the Powerball jackpot is rolling over again. It's getting closer to that billion-dollar mark. No grand prize winner on Monday. That means at least $930 million for the next drawing, which will be on Wednesday. The odds of hitting that jackpot are 1 in 292 million. President Trump says he's told President Xi of China that the U.S. will allow NVIDIA to ship some AI chips to approved customers in China. The president wrote on Truth Social that the U.S. government is taking a 25% cut of sales of those approved chips, up from the previously announced 15%. The announcement would end what was effectively a ban of sales on AI chips from U.S. companies to China. It's 8:38. Our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. Costello's has all your barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, briskets, pork butts, and so much more. At Costello's, you'll find all the best boarhead sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready from charcuterie boards to chicken salad and the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wine, and Cheeses. Find them today on the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
ADX Communications isn't just a company name. It's a home to four great radio stations and the area's most robust digital platform. And we're proud of the successes our local business partners have had, trusting our years of marketing experience.
Hey, it is Christina Leavenworth, your favorite realtor with the Leavenworth team at Levin Rinky Realty. And I love radio advertising for my business. When I go to conferences, I talk about it all the time, and no one believes the incredible results it gives. So I always love referring business over to ADX Communications for the best radio advertising out there.
To have your business become part of our success story, no matter if it's Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola's Playlist 94.5, or the area's most robust digital platform, call us today. 850-262-6000. That's 850-262-6000. And let ADX go to work for you.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, I'm gonna do something a little bit different today, but I think both of you are going to like it since you're both football fans. If you're not a sports fan at all, I will confess in advance this discussion may not be your thing. Okay? Every once in a while we do one that's not necessarily for everybody, but here goes. Instant replay. Okay? Instant replay. Meg's already in.
She's already sighed already.
She's already unhappy. That makes me laugh. Okay, so the rule on instant replay in all the sports is the same. The referee or the umpire makes a call on the field, and then in order to change that call, there has to be some level of clear and convincing, compelling, overwhelming evidence that the call on the field was wrong in order to overturn it. That's the way it has always been. That is the way that it is right now, and I think it shouldn't be that way. I think that especially if you only get one challenge per game, the least you can expect is that the people looking through the cameras at all the angles with all of the time should just tell you what happened. They should make the call. It doesn't matter what the person on the field saw. It should just be like in a court case where, you know, not trying to, in a crime where it's beyond a reasonable doubt, but in a civil case where it's preponderance of the evidence. So what you buy for your challenge is you tell me what you saw. And I don't care what the guy on the field saw, because why should we presume that he got it right? The whole point of looking in the cameras is to see what actually happened. So many calls would be changed if they didn't have to prove beyond a doubt, clear and compelling, all of that kind of stuff. So that's what I think you should buy with your challenge flag, is brand new eyes looking at it without the bias of whatever happened on the field. 437-1620. This is what I told you earlier is my proposal for sports we should talk about.
Oh, okay.
There yeah. It is. So that's my frivolous topic for the day. I'm going to fix sports one instant replay at a time. John?
So are we talking about like a control booth somewhere else that is reviewing the play?
I don't really care. Either way is fine. I just mean that instead of the rule that you go with the field call unless you're sure the field call was wrong, I just think you should look and try and figure out what happened. Did the ball cross the plane? Did the person get the first down? Did it touch the ground? Whatever the case is, just look at the play with new eyes, without caring what was done on the field. That's what I think.
Interesting. Because I just lost all my thoughts.
All right, let's skip to Meg. 437-1620, Meg. This is our frivolous topic of the day, sort of.
Well, first of all, in my book, this is not frivolous.
I know. It's very serious.
This is very serious.
You know, like championships could hang on this question.
I mean, I have been there. I don't think, see, this opens up a whole thing for
Good.
Me because I have mixed feelings about instant replay. I get very annoyed when they take too much time. It breaks up the momentum of the game.
Understood.
But when you want them to get the call right.
Yes, but I also have found at times that they don't get the call right.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's when it's so close and so debatable, it comes down to opinion once again. And I think it's really... I'm going to get in trouble here. Really questionable when that decision changes the outcome of the game completely.
Yes.
So I have it, especially when it's gray, a lot of gray, that bothers me. I don't like that the ACC right now they throw it up to the committee, then everybody listens in, and it's 10, 15. Okay, then let's do a show about instant replays because I really want to watch the game. So then on the flip side, I understand. I want the calls to be right. And then I still think, the cynic in me still says, and are they getting paid for this opinion?
Yeah, what compensation or what feeling of, you know, I did it in the home team, I get cheered, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm still that a little bit of a cynic.
I know there are so many calls where you watch the replay and you think, it's clear what happens, but maybe it's not as clear as you'd like. And so they're not going to overturn. And I hate that the call has been upheld.
Yeah, I mean,
as opposed to the call has been confirmed. Confirmed is fine, okay? Upheld means we'd like to change it, but we have to default to what happened on the field. Let's pause.
Yeah.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives. We'll get text in a second.
That's right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends at Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Let's see here. We've got an accident on Spencerfield Road and Highway 90. Westbound lane is partially blocked at this time, so be aware of that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And I'll go one further on this. I think that the reason we do it this way is because somehow or other it's a way of bolstering the credibility of the referees. Like, we're going to trust the referees in general to get things right, and if we can so easily overturn them, then it's going to diminish their credibility. I would think as a referee, like, if I'm a referee and I got it wrong, I gladly overturn me because I want the call to be right in the end. And so I don't need you to defer to me. I want you to take a look and make sure that I did it right. And if I didn't do it right, then that's fine. 437-1620. Let's hear some of these texts and we'll get back to John. Do you have an opinion yet? Okay, we'll come back to you. somebody says,
I like replay. I do.
Yeah.
If it gets it right.
That's the catch.
I want the
right there.
You want the right answer.
But I'm also digging the way, like she said, the ACC does it when we can hear what they're debating and what they're talking about, because that's transparency to me.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
Right. It's better
because
than
that way.
Better than having Mike Pereira come in and, you know, which no offense. He's great.
Right.
But,
he's,
you know, I like having the people who are actually making the decision explain it. Right.
And get the ref on the field a bigger screen.
The opposite end of this is baseball where, I mean, they barely even tell you anything. We're just, you know,
I know.
They barely even announce it. Okay, here's some text. 437-1620. Sometimes no amount of cameras and replays will be sufficient to obtain the truth, and going with the call in the field beats flipping a coin. No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't mind so much when it's really unclear, okay, where you say, well, we have to make a decision and we're not sure what happened. Okay, but that's not the standard. The standard is you have to be sure the call in the field is wrong. And I think you can be mostly sure. I think you can be pretty sure. I think you can, if you were calling it fresh from scratch, you'd call it the other way. Those are the ones that I'd like to have changed. And also to reward the people, you know, for the challenge play, because it's so hard to win a challenge, right? If the camera watcher is the one making the calls, then it will cut down all the arguments, and where's the fun in that? Fair point. We love to bicker. Meg, we love to fight. Hold on.
Well, then I'm not done yet.
I know.
Wrong
on the field is part of the game. Eliminate instant replay. Cue the angry hordes, somebody says. Let's see. The better question was, okay. And yes, they should look at review completely independent from what was called on the field. They should also do it in professional soccer in Europe. They have the crew on the field calling what they see, but also have a booth watching the game and can buzz down when a call is missed, like a flop. Let's see. Whatever is faster, somebody says, John Hutchinson, our good friend, says, in a field goal try that hits the post should be 4 points. That's harder to do.
Yay,
somebody says, you're 100% correct, Andrew for governor of Myrtle Grove. All right, 437. Is that an honor? I don't know. Whatever. Somebody says, I disagree with Meg. I like seeing the replay committee per the ACC. All right, Meg, go ahead. You said you had thoughts.
I do. I have so many thoughts.
Have I created a good conversation piece for you for later?
Yes. Well, and part of it, too, for me is that I guess I've been watching the game for such a long time that I look back on all these games that were just, there was no instant replay for so many
years.
So it's interesting when I think about that. But then when I think of this this idea of perfectionism, we're going to make the perfect call. Well, then if we're going to do that, then we might as well go the other extreme. How many times have I watched a game where there was a holding call? Mm-hmm. And I think, okay, and it calls a touchdown back.
Right.
So it affects
close calls, and then
they
like
do
that.
And then
like
the announcers do a replay and go, well, that wasn't really holding. So now they're saying it. Nobody's doing anything about it, but you can't undo those calls.
I find that
very upsetting when I see something that's been called that's incorrect when the announcers, and they play it back and they show it's incorrect, but they don't have the instant replay like they do on some of the other calls.
Or when a kind of call is not allowed to be reviewed. That I always find that amazing too.
Exactly.
Because like if you've got the cameras, any call should be able to be reviewed. I mean, I get that there are certain kinds of ones that you want to, you know, there's such a judgment call.
Well, that's what I mean.
You know, like holding is one where you kind of want to be careful about empowering. But why shouldn't every call be subject? DPI is a great example of a call that's so, it can be so subjective. And did it affect the catch? Or was it uncatchable? All that kind of stuff. So
I agree. Yeah.
So, well, all right, cool. We'll take a break. I'm Andrew McKay.
Anderson Subaru sharing more than ever during the 2025 Subaru Share the Love event. Buy a new Subaru now through January 2nd, and Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of four nationally recognized charities, the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. Or choose our local charity, the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association, and Anderson Subaru will add an extra $200 to Subaru's donation with 0.9% financing for 72 on 2025 Outback models, 1.9% financing for 48 on 2025 Forester models, and 1.9% financing for 72 on new Crosstrek models. It's never been easier to share the love. So far, we've donated over $200,000 to fight breast cancer in Pensacola. At Anderson Subaru, now through January 2nd. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
$250 donation per new purchase or lease. Promotion ends January 2nd. See retailer or AndersonSubaru.com/share for details.
Hey, Pensacola. It's Christina Leavenworth with the Leavenworth team at Levin Rinky Realty. Your home is your most valuable asset, so make sure you're hiring a professional, the Leavenworth team. The Leavenworth team has the knowledge and expertise to help you buy or sell your home with confidence. Don't even think about making a real estate move without at least talking to us first. Contact us today at 850-378-1260. The Leavenworth team. Experience matters, and we're here to help.
Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 when guests from Pensacola State College will be on the show to talk about everything from spring registration to graduation and so much more. And did you know that 92% of Pensacola State College students graduate loan-free? Learn more today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Pensacola State College.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
This is Sherry with Jonathan's Flooring, wishing a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year.
May your Christmas be filled with joy, love, and laughter. This is Megan with the Boot Store in Locksley and Pensacola, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Eldon Scott with Sonny's Barbecue, wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Corey with WEAR, wishing you happy holidays to you and your family from ours.
This is Bruno with Hill Kelly Dodge, wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is David Wayne, and I just want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
Good the morning, 8:54, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. If you need to sell a home or buy a home or often, you know, both, but certainly involves selling, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty can help with that. And, you know, when the market is hot, like kind of anybody can sell a home, and that's what was happening a couple of years ago, and they were selling over 200 homes. And then the market started to cool down a little bit, and, you know, not everybody's doing so well anymore. They is down to 175 and then down to 165. That's still 3 to 4 a week. That's a lot. But I was talking to her the other day, and she said, man, we're back up in a down market. We're up 30%. She's at 180 and going to likely get to around 200 by the year's end. So even in a down market, she's up. She says, the difference is the people who do a lot of these things and do it right know how to get to the sale. And she was telling me, and I know this sounds unbelievable, but she says, people come to her as the third realtor, where two have not sold the home, or three, or four. In fact, she had two clients recently where they had five other realtors before they came to her and she sold their home. And then I was just talking to her last week, and she said, I actually had somebody recently come to me, seven realtors, and then came to me and we sold the home. I just, oh my God. I mean, can you imagine? You go to a restaurant, you order the food, it's wrong, you send it back. It's wrong again, you send it back. Seven times! This is just crazy. Anyway, so you don't have to wait till the eighth meal gets cooked right. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty. John Pickens has got traffic on the five. John?
Still dealing with the accident that happened on Highway 90 just west of East Spencerfield Road going westbound.
What's the name of that road?
East Spencerfield Road.
Spencer?
Spencer.
All right, go on.
Okay.
I'm nitpicking now.
I know. we're seeing traffic back up going westbound in that direction. I-10, I-110, they're all looking good. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
What was it, the Joint Cheese, Joint Steve's of Chet?
Yes, oh my gosh, that David. We love him.
That's so awesome. All right. This is a story about Trump that has been, I think, widely reported in a misleading way. Because the headline and the substance, it's not that the headlines are false. It's that the headlines are designed to get you. They're clickbait. The headline is designed to get you to have a reaction. The headline has been, Trump cancels free access to national parks on Juneteenth and Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday and substitutes his own birthday instead. And you're supposed to react to that as, oh, God, not again. This guy, he's so evil. He really does hate black people or, you know, whatever, right? That's supposed to be your reaction. There's nothing false in the story. It is true that national parks will no longer have free access on Martin Luther King Jr. Day or on Juneteenth. And it is true that they are adding the president's birthday, which also happens to be Flag Day, you know, Constitution Day, June 14th. It's got a lot of things on that day. But they're actually changing all of the days. It's not just the Juneteenth and the Martin Luther King Jr. Day. There's all the days are being changed, except for there's only one. Veterans Day is the one date that's a carryover from the prior year to the current year. So all of the rest of them have been changed. And, you know, they've got Constitution Day, the 110th anniversary of the National Park Service, Teddy Roosevelt's birthday. That doesn't make the headline. You know, it doesn't fit the narrative very well. I'm not saying it's a great choice one way or the other. I'm just saying always beware these kind of clickbaity headlines that want to lead you into a certain interpretation. Now, you can be... And was it because it was his birthday or was it because it was Flag Day or something like that? Well, you know, you have to decide. But it leans into the racist vein kind of narrative, which, you know me, if there's a criticism of Trump, I'm not going to be shy about saying it. I just don't think in this case it quite matches the level of outrage that the headline produces. 8:58 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Austell, USA, laid keel on the first Heritage Class offshore patrol cutter. Maybe good news. This is actually the fifth and the sixth in the class. Eastern Shipbuilding in Panama City had the first four and started the first two. The third and the fourth have gotten canceled. The status of the first two is uncertain. They had issues with Hurricane Michael. They had damage. They were having trouble building the ship. They say the design is flawed. It hasn't been properly proven and tested. The Coast Guard switched it to Austell. Then they got sued by Eastern Shipbuilding and they won. So now it's at Austell, and kind of want to be happy for Austell, but Austell itself has had some problems with the LCS class. Time will tell whether this is a good choice or not. Is the design good? Is the design proven? Are they going to build us another I mean, is this going to be another Zumwalt class, another, littoral combat ship class? Is this going to be another round of ships that wind up being a disappointment or not? Well, time will tell. And I hope that time tells that I'm wrong in my suspicions and my concerns because, Austell's building a whole new facility. It's going to employ 1,000 people. And I want to believe that we're going to do well, and that's expanding our shipbuilding capacity. And I'm also aware that, you're going to have to prove it to me after the problems in the submarines and just the Ford carrier class. And I want to have good news about shipbuilding, and maybe this will be. Maybe. Let's hope. Let's be optimistic. Stream us.